Hello, I'm Karen O'Connor, a consultant speech and language therapist, and this is the Karen O'Connor podcast, part of openingyourmind.com. Openingyourmind.com is my website where I share my extensive knowledge and unique pieces of the jigsaw approach so that your child can achieve their greatest potential over the shortest period of time. We blend up-to-the-minute speech and language therapy techniques with sensory integrative techniques, including sound therapy, which will be impacting on the neuroplasticity of the brain, so that your child can achieve their greatest potential quickly and easily. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to subscribe to ensure that you don't miss future podcast episodes. And if you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more people this podcast will reach, as iTunes and other podcast apps start to recommend it to people like you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to talking to you. I'm delighted to be here this morning in Galway to interview Karen Clancy. She's a very well-known craniosacral therapist and has worked with lots of children over many years and really helped them achieve their true potential. The reason that I wanted to sit down with Karen is so many parents ask me, you know, if someone has recommended craniosacral therapy to them for their child, they say, but what does a craniosacral therapist really do? So that's why we have Karen in here this morning to tell us a lot more about that and everything else to do with craniosacral therapy. So welcome, Karen. Great to have you here.
Lovely to be here.
Thank you. So what does a craniosacral therapist really do?
So as a craniosacral therapist, we provide a really safe space for the children to come in and receive this really light, gentle, hands-on therapy where we're listening to their craniosacral rhythm. And this is where we're listening into, it's through a membrane system that is incorporates the brain, the spinal cord, all the cranial bones, spinal bones, and then the fascia throughout the whole body. We're listening for the rhythm of this system to see how it's functioning, how the health of it is, the quality, the rate of it. And this gives us some feedback through the system, through little subtle impulses or how the body is expressing. And we're looking for any restrictions, anything that's impacting the health of this system in the whole body.
Yeah. It sounds so interesting, Karen. And I suppose I've worked with many children who also have been working with you, and I see directly the results and what the craniosacral therapy can do. Mm-hmm. But can you tell us a little bit about the children that you see? So, mm-hmm. you know, excuse me, do you see all children? Do you see children presenting with specific challenges? Mm-hmm. Who do you see?
So I would work a lot with newborn babies up to adults. So I see all types of individuals. With the children, I would see a lot of maybe children presenting with neurological challenges. So they may have learning difficulties, speech difficulties, coordination, sensitivities, ADHD on the spectrum, dyspraxia, motor issues, you know, mm-hmm. with their nervous system. And
it's really right across the board, isn't it?
It's anything, yeah, because our central nervous system is part of every other functioning system in our body. So anything that is part of the functioning of the brain, the spinal cord, or any of the nervous system parts.
Okay, great. Okay, so Karen, what changes can you see? What I mean, you've been working for, over 15 years?
Yes.
With children using craniosacral therapy techniques. What changes can parents expect to see with their child if they go to a craniosacral therapist?
Yeah, so what we're always helping to facilitate is the child's innate healing ability, their own self-regulating system. So we're all built with a system that should be able to function and regulate itself. So if there's something that's impacting it or challenging that, we want to find out what that is. And we find out through listening with our hands, and also then it's helping the child to self-regulate, to feel what it feels like for themselves to come back into balance, you know? Mm-hmm. So if a child is expressing maybe hyperactivity or dysregulation of somewhere in their system, through the craniosacral therapy, we're helping them to actually regulate themselves. So there's a sense of calm, a sense of ease, a sense of relaxation, mm-hmm. a sense of safety, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and a stillness sometimes that they haven't felt in their systems in a little while. Yeah. And in this place of stillness, then we self-regulate. There's a natural ability in our bodies to heal, mm-hmm. to bring ourselves back to balance. Mm-hmm. And so whatever is compromising that, we listen for that then in the craniosacral rhythm.
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I've seen, is that, you know, the child feeling that calmness maybe for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. Well, it's so important for all of us to have that place that where you can feel calm.
Yeah.
Because for so many of the children that we see, they are dysregulated.
Yeah.
And they are a little bit out of sync. And then the world can be a little bit of a scary place.
Yeah.
If you're feeling a little bit off kilter and you're finding it hard to regulate yourself.
Yeah.
So it's that's why craniosacral therapy is so helpful, isn't it? Because it's helping the child to, that's one of the things,
yeah.
to feel that again,
yeah.
that ability to be calm within.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And as you say, from there then, that can, you can get into other areas and help
yeah.
other areas to start to come together. When you say about other areas, so once that regulation comes into the system in a better way, what else can you see? What can parents hope to see?
So it helps to maybe the child's a little bit more at ease. So they're enjoying maybe more play. They're enjoying maybe as that stress or challenge on the system isn't as prevalent, then other neurological functions can start to come more into their health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they, I suppose, they see maybe them sitting down or reading a book a little bit more, that their handwriting is a little bit easier, that their speech might be a bit clearer, eye contact, coordination, mm-hmm. Their relationship with the outside world also has an impact about how we feel on the inside. So mm-hmm. things maybe become a little bit easier at school or with other children. And you know, it's very individual for every child because everyone has their own little world inside. So it's not the same for every child.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much an individual case. So what I see a lot is the child coming more into who they are and coming more into a relaxed place in themselves.
Yeah.
And then from a physiological perspective, their system is functioning more from a place of health, vitality, mm-hmm. wellness, and in that, who they really are and their optimal potential starts to come out more and more. So it's quite individual then, I suppose,
yeah.
what each family will see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though we might present with the same challenge, it's the reasons it's happening is very different for every child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it really helps to bring it all together then, you know,
yeah.
into that whole coherent system on the inside. You
yes,
know?
Yeah. yes. And that's exactly what I've seen with the kids, is that they become more regulated. They're opening up to the world more, opening up to family, whether it be relatives, family, other children, and just their environment in general.
Yeah.
So I suppose we all know that if we're feeling calmer,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to cope with the world, isn't it?
And totally.
It's, and to be who you really are
yeah.
and to achieve your true potential.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we feel the world through our whole nervous system, and that nervous system is taking in information from in utero up to the day we're older, and we're just a constant way of sensing how our world is. And then our nervous system is making sense of that. Mm-hmm. And so with craniosacral therapy, the intention is to really help that system to be as optimal as possible. So whatever it's taking in, whatever it's making sense of, mm-hmm. is in the easiest, most regulated way for all of us, you know.
Great, yeah. great. Yeah. Okay, so, and again, parents often ask me this, how often, if you go to see a craniosacral therapist, and I imagine it depends on what's going on with the child, with your child, yeah. or what, you know, what's happening for you, but what's the norm? How often yeah. would you see a craniosacral therapist? How long would each session be for? Mm-hmm.
So initially when a family comes, we do just a settling in period, letting everyone kind of get used to the room, the environment. I take a full case history and we go through everything from the pregnancy, how the birth was, how the first few weeks of life were for the baby, for mm-hmm. the mum, for the dad, and then in that just the conversation will flow, that the child will express what it needs to share if it's wants to. Sometimes mm-hmm. they just mm-hmm. want some time and space just to have some time on their own. And the session usually lasts about an hour, and in that, again, it's different for every child that I work with. Some will hop up on the bed and relax and we can work that way. Others, I need to be down on the floor with them. They're reading, they're playing with toys. Sometimes, again, I need to sit back a little bit and just mm-hmm. let them invite me into their space, you know, mm-hmm. because their systems are so sensitive that they don't just want somebody, you know, putting their hands on straight away. So initially, it's just about finding that real safety for the child and what's going to help their system find that inner balance for themselves, you know. Right. So every session is going to look really different, and even for the same child, each session can be very mm-hmm. different depending mm-hmm. on how safer and how much more integrated they are in themselves, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And again, just with regards to how many sessions a child would need, it is very individual. Some children respond really quickly to sessions. Other children take a little bit more time depending on what's going on for them on the inside. And yeah, I have no expectation. I just see what comes in yeah. and see mm-hmm. see what each of those children need in each session, and then we take
brilliant.
It from there.
Yeah. Brilliant. And Karen, parents often say to me, oh golly, I don't know if he'll sit for the craniosacral yeah. therapist. I mean, is it too early? You know, I don't think he'll let her put her hands on his head, you yeah. know. And I say, no, you know, if you find the right craniosacral therapist, mm-hmm. it'll all just happen.
Yeah.
So what do you find?
So for me, the relationship initially is hugely important, because children are so sensitive, they're so tuned in, whether they can express that or not. And it's about really respecting where they're at. And so before anything, there's just meeting that child where they actually are. And it doesn't have to be that I have get my hands on in the first session. They really communicate in many ways, mm-hmm. through their behavior, through their play, through verbal, non-verbal. And it's just about listening to all of that and just okay. following their lead, listening to what they need mm-hmm. constantly. And that just seems to create more a sense of ease, that they're being yeah. listened to, they're being mm-hmm. heard, whatever level I'm listening mm-hmm. to, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes on the first session, they mightn't let you put your hands on at all, but I'm still working with them, even if it doesn't yes. look like there's anything yeah. happening. There's a lot happening, you mm-hmm. know, that they're in this mm-hmm. space, they're in this environment where they're being listened to, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't mm-hmm. come yeah. across as yeah. verbal stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And most of the children over time, they love their sessions, because, you know, mm-hmm. they're really being heard, they're really mm-hmm. being met
yes.
where they need to, you know. And they might not always be able to verbalize a restriction, but, you know, they may be biting or banging their mm-hmm. head or having anxiety, and all mm-hmm. of these things are expressions of something's going on for me that mm-hmm. I can't explain, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so when we listen to all of that, they feel heard,
great.
You know, and the restrictions
great.
Then over time, they'll allow me put my hand on a certain area, or they might actually take my hand and put it where they actually want it over time. So yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's so interesting. And it's funny, I'm just thinking there now that I've often seen children where the parent might say, or I might see it during the session, where the child could be knocking their head in a certain area,
yeah,
or maybe seeking pressure in a certain area, whether it be the chin or the head or whatever. And also children, so I'd love you to talk about this, is, you know, children who may have a slightly flatter at the back of the head or in certain parts of the head. And in those situations, I'd often say, do you know, it might be worth seeing a craniosacral therapist. Because, so I'd love to hear from you. What does that say to you if you see a child either knocking their head in a certain area or seeking pressure in certain areas, maybe leaning against mom or leaning against dad, or... The other thing that we often see is kind of a slightly differently shaped cranium.
So with any of the pressure, it's can be very evident there's a restriction in the membrane. So how the system actually works is everything has this rhythm, you know, and it moves the cranial bones, it moves it through our fascia, our muscles, our organs, our systems. And if somewhere there's a restriction, they're looking for a release, you know. So whether it's in a cranial bone, you know, like you say, they're looking for feedback of some sort in it, you know. And so with a really gentle hands on their head, we're just helping facilitate a little bit of either attraction or just even meeting the area. The body starts to self correct. It starts to bring that sense of ease back into that area, you know. And for some, you might need a little bit more pressure. For others, it's very light pressure. So while it can look like they're presenting similarly, some children want really deep pressure, and other children don't want you near the pressure. They just want you to work a little bit and get the system to come out on its own, you know. And with the you asked me about the back of the head.
Because often we see kids who, you know, might have maybe flatter on the back of the head, maybe due to birth or whatever it is, you know. What does that say to you?
So all of the cranial bones are attached to this membrane system, okay? So the whole cranium, the skull, the jaw, the facial bones, the mouth, the palate, you know, their teeth, everything has an alignment and a function. And that lines right down into the sacrum. So anywhere that there's a restriction on that can be pulling in one of the cranial bones, putting pressure on a certain area that's not allowing it to express or to move at its full potential. And again, by bringing our attention into this membrane system, it's helping to release the restriction, and over time, those cranial bones come back into their natural balance, their natural shape. And it's so gentle for them that the kids sometimes don't even feel anything, you know. So it's a lovely way to meet something that can be quite impacting for them, you know.
And it's so non-invasive.
So non-invasive,
it? You know, and it's so gentle.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no pulling or dragging or anything like that. You're completely working with the child's system where it's at.
Yeah, and the child is fully clothed and, you know, it can sometimes look like there's nothing happening. But you will often find a child will express a sense of ease. Some of them, you know, are no longer putting pressure in a certain area. They might fall asleep, you know. So a lot can happen that parents might see as a shift on the inside, but it's the child's way of expressing that something has changed, you know.
And so and that's, I suppose, what I see as well, is that parents would often say to me afterwards, golly, you know, he's just calmer, or he sleeps so well, or, and am I right in saying, Karen, that, you know, so after the session, you know, you may see that, but I'm imagining that it carries on over a period of time, a settling in kind of a period.
So once a restriction is released, you know, it shouldn't be going back into that same restriction pattern. If we're not addressing why the restriction is happening, then you can't see it going back in again. So we always need to, there's always a way of inquiring and asking the questions and bringing out the information from the inside, so that we know, you know, sometimes a lot of it can be from birth issues, you mm-hmm. know, like how our birth was. Mm-hmm. Other times it's just it's a tension, it's a stress that's in the system naturally of whatever that child is picking up from its environment and how mm-hmm. it's responding. So it can be just feel maybe like full of life on the outside, but inside they're quite tense and shy, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. that can be keeping those yeah. membranes a little bit compressed or
yes,
tight or
yes,
restricted in some way.
Yeah. And Karen, there's something I feel you were nearly touching on there. Well, it's the whole thing we talk about, the pieces of the jigsaw. Mm-hmm. And as we said earlier, I have a lot of families or children that I see, you would equally see yeah. them, and you know, maybe other therapists will say there may be a biomedical expert involved, yeah. there may be an occupational therapist involved, there may be a psychologist involved. Mm-hmm. What's your feeling on the kind of the pieces of the jigsaw?
It's massive. So, okay. you know, we're not just one system. We are, you know, we have so many systems and so many organs, and how all of that is functioning in relation to how the gut is functioning mm-hmm. in relation to the brain mm. through the health of the cerebrospinal fluid, through the health of the immune system, and how each of those systems are working with each other on mm-hmm. the inside. So mm-hmm. just in my experience and working with individuals in the health industry for 15, 20 years, there isn't just one system. And it's about trying to find what are the pieces that each child needs to bring everything back into a coherent whole again, you know. Food,
yes,
chemicals, you know, toxins, anything that can be impacting our system, is affecting how our nerves are feeling at ease,
yes.
or having to meet something in their mm-hmm, system. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I know Dr. Martha Herbert, and I've mentioned her a number of times, who has written The Autism Revolution as well as other books, but that's her most recent one. And she talks so much about, I suppose, the environment and how the environment is impacting, whether it's toxicity in our yeah. foods, whether it's toxicity in the environment, is throwing our nervous systems off kilter.
Yeah.
And then the body and the whole nervous system is having to react in a certain way that maybe it doesn't really, would prefer not to be
exactly.
reacting.
Exactly, yeah. You know, yeah. like our nervous system is one of the most important systems mm. in our body, and because it's communicating to every single organ, every mm. single cell. It's giving us feedback about how the environment of life is, mm-hmm. And so helping that from different perspectives gives us just so much more tools to offer mm-hmm. A child or a person, you know. Mm-hmm.
And as you say, it's about finding the right combination.
Yeah.
It's not about doing a million things.
No.
It's about,
no.
I remember a course years ago, and I thought she was so right. It was one of the Wilbergers who developed the brushing program.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Patty Wilberger. And I remember her saying, you've got to get bang for your buck.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said, there's no point in doing 10 things if, you know, 9 out of 10 of those things are only giving you a 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
You need 2 or 3 things that are giving you an 8 or a 9 out of 10.
Exactly.
And that are right for your child. Yeah. And that's when you really see progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huge, you know,
yeah.
because it's not about, as you say, having too many stuff in that mix. That can also be a stress on our nervous
Absolutely.
Systems, you know. So it's finding the key pieces,
mm-hmm.
getting those supports in, and mm-hmm. then supporting through the development and the changes that will happen mm-hmm, with that. You know, mm-hmm. I've just seen so many changes, positive mm-hmm. changes, when we get those little pieces together. It just gives the child such potential for kind of growth and development that they may not have had if that restriction was left in place, whatever mm-hmm, that restriction mm-hmm, is, you know. Mm-hmm. So
And really, as you say, you know, finding those right pieces of the jigsaw so the child can truly achieve their potential.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
They were all designed very similarly. Mm-hmm, we all mm-hmm. have the same everything
yes.
on the inside, and it's just to see, you know, what does it need for it to express as fully mm, and yeah. you know, as healthily as it can.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm. What do you say, Karen, to people who say? Because I, you know, I often hear people saying, "Oh, is that a bit airy fairy?" And people say the same to me about the sound therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say in terms of the craniosacral therapy end of things?
So it's definitely not airy-fairy, because mm-hmm. we are, you know, this is a physical, it's very physiology,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's It's working with the deepest system in our body that is developing from day one as the cells are evolving in utero. And so we're working with the spinal cord, we're working with the brain, we're working with the nervous system, and we're working with how that communicates through every system through the fascia. So it's very holistic. It's very much a physical therapy. We're not doing energy work, we're not doing you know, we're not really doing anything. We're listening, we're facilitating a space for our body's innate ability to regulate itself and helping to find out what's creating the restriction in that function. We do definitely take in the emotional aspect, the mental aspect. And, you know, there is a physical feeling of what's happening in the body that some people might think is energy, but it's a feeling of a rhythm. So it's like feeling your breath. It's like feeling your heartbeat. This is a subtler rhythm that is the rhythm of this fluid that's filling up into the brain and filling back down again. And this is happening like every 6 to 12 cycles. There's, there's a wave that'll fill and then there's a wave that'll empty. And that's what we're listening to with our hands through palpation for the whole session, is how is the vitality, how is the symmetry, how is the rate, the quality of that. And that then is what houses the brain, spinal cord, central nervous system, and out into the whole whole body through the fascia, you know. So
I think that's going to be so reassuring for parents, not only understanding how craniosacral therapy works, but also because you do hear people saying, oh, I think it's energy work, or I think it's this, and that turns people off naturally. And so I think to get that reassurance that, no, this is very much working on a neurophysiological level. It's working on the body, it's working on the nervous system, you know, and it's starting to pull everything together. And certainly my experience of seeing children who've been to you and other craniosacral therapists is that it's really having a lovely, I want to say lovely calming effect, but I know it's so much more than that. But it's the calmness that starts to come into the nervous system that opens the door for so many other skills to start to emerge there.
You know, like any of us can just feel that sense of when things are working, when things are working right for us. There's a feeling that we can't put a name on, that things just are okay. You know, and I suppose that's my passion of helping children who maybe can't verbalize this, who are expressing it maybe through what people are seeing as a behavioral issue or as a some kind of a pattern of that's not maybe how somebody wants it to be, you know, and listening to that and helping that system to feel itself actually regulating is huge, you know, and rewarding for the child because they might not have ever felt that sense in themselves before. So it can be a bit funny at the beginning if they're coming out of that sympathetic fight or flight system and they haven't fully felt that sense of the parasympathetic where they're resting, relaxing, regulating, you know. So we work a lot with the vagus nerve, which really links, you know, the gut, the brain and the whole central nervous system together. So it's a big network, and it's to get them all working together, you know.
And it's very far reaching, so that's the thing, which is amazing. So where do people go if they want to find a craniosacral therapist? Now, and I'm thinking in Ireland, but I'm also thinking internationally. How do people find somebody?
So craniosacral therapy is becoming, you know, it's been around since the early 1900s, you know. So Dr. William Sutherland first started to explore this. He's an osteopath, and he started to notice that the cranial bones he was working on were actually had this little rhythm in it, you know. And then a few years after that, Dr. John Upledger continued this research, but more into the actual dural membrane, dural membrane of the cerebrospinal cord, the brain. And in that, then they started to really explore this rhythm of the cerebrospinal fluid. And so internationally you have the Upledger Institute, and in Ireland we also have the Upledger Ireland. So it's, if you just Google Upledger Ireland or Upledger International, they have all of the international therapists worldwide are are on their pages.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, because that's great. Because people, I know we have a lot of people watching nationally and internationally, so they'll want to know how to find a really good craniosacral therapist locally. So we can put the information in the description box below.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Karen. That was so interesting.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, and as I say, I've seen so many children that it has had such a really lovely impact on, mm-hmm. and has opened the door for so many other things to start to fall into place. Yeah. So you're doing amazing work, and thank you for coming in today.
You're very welcome. Yes, thank you. I just want to say that as craniosacral therapy, it works with whatever other modality someone's actually doing. So none of this impacts the other work. So it's all about integration. It's all about getting everything working together.
Great.
So just in case anyone's wondering about, you know, having to do different things at different times, everything will support everything else. So
Okay, no, that's lovely to hear. So great. Thank you all for watching. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Karen Clancy, craniosacral therapist, today. And please like, share and subscribe so that you can get alerts when there's new information coming on the channel, whether it be new videos with experts or talking to parents. And something that I'm going to start is regularly talking about a case. So if a family or families would like to email in about their child, if they have specific concerns about their child relating to the communication end of things, whether that's part of a bigger diagnosis or not, it doesn't matter. But giving us some nice information, then we can talk through. I can do that as a webcast and talk about that and about what's the best approach and what's the best way forward to help your child achieve their greatest potential. Thank you for watching.
Thanks for listening to the Karen O'Connor podcast. Please visit openingyourmind.com for more information on the work that I do. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to subscribe to ensure that you don't miss out on future podcast episodes. And if you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more people this podcast will reach. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye for now.